Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, May 9th, 2013. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, certain northern Idaho routes will be under consideration for heavier 129,000-pound tandem trucks. Moscow Planning and Zoning Commission won't allow substitute park location, and Idaho average hourly wage down and continues below national average. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Idaho Transportation Department says a number of northern Idaho roads are eligible for 129,000-pound tandem trailer trucks under department designations. Those include U.S. Highway 95 between Grangeville and the Canadian border, U.S. Highway 2 across the Panhandle, State Route 200 north of Lake Ponderay, State Highway 8 between Moscow and Troy, U.S. Highway 12 and State Highway 3 between Lewiston and Kendrick, and State Routes 41, 53, and 57 in the Post Falls and Rathdrum area. Interstate 90 across the Panhandle will not have the larger trucks because it is under the purview of the Federal Highway Administration, which generally limits truck weights on interstates to 105,000 pounds. The legislature this year approved allowing the larger trucks on certain roads, but the ITD must make the decision on a case-by-case basis after studying the roads. There was a Transportation Department study completed on the 10-year pilot project on 35 southern Idaho roads, allowing the 129,000-pound trucks, and that concluded the heavier trucks are not responsible for any significant increase in damage to roads and bridges. Opponents to this year's bill, including lawmakers, local government officials, highway districts, some loggers and some truckers in northern Idaho, say the southern Idaho study doesn't apply to northern Idaho, which has different topography and climate. Opponents also say the larger tandem trailer trucks are harder to stop and generally more dangerous in an accident. The bill easily passed in the legislature with the support of lobbyists representing the Idaho Forest Group this year. The lobby group represents mill owners and agriculture producers. In his signing statement, Governor C.L. Butch Otter said the ITD should conduct public hearings before designating any roads for the larger trucks. The Idaho Transportation Department is going to put together a Blue Ribbon Commission to study which roads should allow the 129,000-pound trucks. That list will be presented to the legislature next year for final approval. Idaho now ranks 45th in the nation for hourly wages. A report by the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics shows the average wage in 2012 was $18.48 per hour, which is down from the previous year. The wage is 84% of the national average. The report shows the average wage for Idaho is lower than the national average for all categories of work except farming, fishing, and forestry. The study looked at average wages in Idaho's designated metro areas and found only one metro where wages increased between 2011 and 2012. That was Pocatello. Republican U.S. Senators Jim Crapo and Jim Risch, both of Idaho, along with Representative Raul Labrador of Idaho's 1st Congressional District, have written to the Coast Guard asking them to reconsider their decision to not issue permits for a planned jet boat race on the St. Joe River. The Coast Guard had said it will not issue permits for the Race the Joe event until an environmental assessment is done on the race's impact on bald eagles who live along the river. The three Republicans asked the Coast Guard to do a review quickly and allow the race to go on. A 70-year-old PEC man injured in an all-terrain vehicle crash on his land has died, the Nez Perce County Sheriff's Office said. Paul R. Lane was taken by helicopter to St. Joseph Regional Medical Center around 2:30 p.m. Monday after he crashed on the land on Bobbitt Bench Road. He died about 3.5 hours later from injuries to his torso, shoulder, and extremities. The Moscow Planning and Zoning Commission acquiesced last night to the wishes of Indian Hills subdivision residents and rejected a developer's proposal to relocate a platted park in the Indian Hills 6th edition. Thompson Development LLC wanted to swap a planned 0.94-acre park with a 1.18-acre piece 200 feet away and adjacent to the existing Alturas Park. Development Representative Garrett Thompson, who said he sympathized with residents who wouldn't live within easy walking distance to the combined park, said one large park would get more use and be more cohesive than two small ones. Resident Bill Parks helped collect 90 signatures on a petition from residents who object to the change. Parks told the commission it would be a mistake to ignore the wishes of residents who say the proposed larger park is too sloped, has limited parking, and is farther away from existing residences. After a long period of discussion, the commission voted 5-2 to recommend the city council not approve the change. The two men accused of murder in the 2010 disappearance of Clarkston resident Rachel Anderson will not appear in court today for a preliminary hearing because attorneys need to first sift through a large amount of evidence before the hearing can take place. Charles A. Capone and David C. Stone, both of Moscow, are charged with first-degree murder, conspiracy to commit first-degree murder, failure to notify a coroner or law enforcement official about a death, and conspiracy to commit that failure. Anderson's body has not been located, but Latah County Prosecutor William Thompson said the information gathered by an Assotin County task force working since Anderson's disappearance 3 years ago is sufficient to begin prosecution. Capone's attorney, D. Ray Barker, and Stone's attorney, Charles Kovis, are reviewing that material now. The purpose of the preliminary hearing that had been scheduled for this morning would have been to establish probable cause that the accused has committed a crime before the case moves to district court. A Seattle federal judge has ordered the Forest Service to pay about $70,000 in legal fees to two Oregon lawyers who won a case on behalf of the Montana-based Wilderness Watch. Wilderness Watch sued to have the Forest Service remove a lookout tower built with the use of a helicopter in Washington's Glacier Peak Wilderness Area, where motorized operations are not allowed under federal wilderness laws. U.S. District Judge John Kaufenauer ordered the removal of the lookout, but Washington's congressional delegation is pushing legislation that will allow it to remain because it's a popular destination for hikers. Blaine County law enforcement reports residents have found 8 shrapnel-laden bottle bombs in the Sun Valley area in recent weeks. The Blaine County Sheriff's Department and Sun Valley Police say the similarity in the bombs indicates they were likely made by the same group or person. The bombs are plastic bottles containing chemicals that will react together and eventually explode. Blaine County Sheriff Wayne Ramsey said putting shrapnel in any device intended to explode makes it a deadly weapon. A bomb consisting of 3 such bottles was found in a mailbox near Haley April 24th. 2 of the bottles detonated ineffectively and 1 was neutralized by a Twin Falls bomb squad. 4 of the 5 bombs found in a Sun Valley resort pond exploded and 1 malfunctioned. Washington Governor Jay Inslee signed a new law yesterday establishing a central registry for tracking firearm offenders. People convicted of gun offenses will be required now to register and keep their information up to date for 4 years. The Washington State Patrol will maintain the registry and the information will not be available to the public. The Federal Aviation Administration has approved an Oregon Army National Guard request to fly unmanned aerial vehicles from the Oregon Regional Airport at Pendleton. The Guard, which also flies drones from the Boardman Bombing Range near the Columbia River, can now fly them over a 100-square-mile area of mostly wheat fields north of the Pendleton Airport in order to train drone operators. The University of Idaho Dean of the College of Letters, Arts, and Social Sciences will move into the Provost's office on an interim basis this week. Dean Catherine Aiken told the Daily News she is excited to serve as provost while the university seeks a replacement for Doug Baker, who will leave to become president of Northern Illinois University. Aiken will be assisting interim UI president Don Burnett, who will be stepping into that post when president Dwayne Nellis leaves to take the lead at Texas Tech University in Lubbock. Aiken said she is not eyeing a career in administration and said once the transition to a new UI administration is complete, she plans to return to teaching history and working on some writing projects. Former University of Idaho football coach Rob Akey is suing the University of Idaho, alleging he is owed compensation for media participation and public appearances. Akey was fired mid-season last year and is claiming the university should pay him a portion of the $105,000 he would have been paid for media and public appearances had he completed the 2012 season. A UI spokesperson said the university cannot comment on pending litigation. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. Clear skies tonight and a low of 51, and sunny tomorrow, high 81 degrees. On Friday night, it'll be 51 degrees and partly cloudy. Mostly sunny Saturday, high 80. Mostly cloudy Saturday night, low 53. And a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms after noon on Sunday. Partly sunny, high 80. Currently at the Pullman-Moscow Regional Airport, we have fair skies outside and a temperature of 81 degrees. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next, Talk Nation Radio. Report and interview about highway boondoggles around the nation, and that'll be followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio, and then music with Michelle at 7:30 and music and entertainment throughout the evening here at KRFP Moscow. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students. You can mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Nancy Casey assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow.